Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Theater Podcast, intimate personal conversations with theater's biggest names. I'm Alan Seals, and this is part two of the interview with William Ivy Long. If you didn't listen to part one, rewind a few days in however you rewind on the internet and go back and listen to part one, because damn, it's good. Enjoy.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Here you go. 1, 2, 3...
I'm just looking through your credits here. It takes me so long to scroll through your IMDb
page.
Aren't you
kind? Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So goodness, we've been talking for a while. Okay. So let's fast forward a little bit. And now Tootsie and Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Skip all those. Let's go to now.
Go to now. We'll be here.
Forget the producers.
Okay.
No, forget the producers. Really. Let's go to Tootsie and Beetlejuice.
Well, do you want to talk
they
about
they opened producers? A day at a price? No. They're books on that. See, preposterous, pompous. They're books on that.
There's books on that. Yeah, Beetlejuice and Tootsie. Did you know they were both going to hit Broadway at the same time?
You mean open a day apart?
Yes.
You mean Tootsie be my 74th Broadway show and Beetlejuice be my Diamond Jubilee 75th? No, not a clue. You start working on shows whenever you're lucky enough and privileged enough for somebody to want you. There's a real visceral reaction. People say, how does it start? And I say, well, it starts with a phone call. And the director asks you, would you like to do such and such? And I have never gotten a job from an interview. I'm a very bad interview. From the very beginning, my agent, Helen Merrill, but I've only had one agent, sort of Helen Merrill, morphed into Patrick Harold at ICM, but it's been the Helen Merrill. She said, oh, William, everyone, she had a slight lisp and a German lisp at that. everyone thinks you're Fwip. I said, Helen, Fwip? It seems I was Flip, F-L-I-P, but I'm always Fwip in my mind. And I haven't stopped being Fwip, so no one hires me cold. I only get referenced. So I know it's a catch-22, so I had a slow start. But, so I don't know. I think David Korins forced Alex Timbers to hire me.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think Alex would have just hired me. Maybe he hadn't met me and thought he liked my work, but hadn't met me. But then he was stuck with me. Well, he could have dropped me. But anyway, but you work for the director, and that's how you start. Mm-hmm. The director's the boss. Anyone who thinks that producers are the bosses on the Broadway, that's not right. Producers are the bosses in movies and in television. But on Broadway, the director is head of the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I've mostly worked with Jerry Zaks in this order of number. Jerry Zaks, Susan Stroman, Scott Ellis, Walter Bopp. You know, I have a great Leave Your Chule, those numbers. And Jerry Zaks like 35. We're over 30 with Susan. It's hard to count because we do it a full... We've done so many different projects, ballets and everything. So the director calls you and you start working. And you don't know whether it's going to happen next year or 2 years from then. And that's how I got into this jungle trap of Beetlejuice and Tootsie. I also had two other shows. I had four shows last year open within 8 weeks.
What?
I know, right. Well, the on Broadway, Beetlejuice. Well, we had done out-of-town tryouts for Beetlejuice in D.C. Mm-hmm. and Tootsie in Chicago. So those technically did open at a previous year. But then I had Princess Diana, the musical, open at La Jolla.
Oh, you were working on that.
Yes, yeah. Coming up again. And then Marie, the musical, sometimes called Little Dancer, about Degas, with Terry Mann as Degas, mm-hmm. just saying. So that Terry Mann in as Degas, Susan Stroman directing Little Dancer, that opened in Seattle. Princess Diana opened at La Jolla, and then Tootsie opened on Broadway, Beetlejuice, all within 8 weeks.
Oof.
So it was a little schizo. Fortunately, we had done each, except for Diana, I had done all of them previous, either mm-hmm. out of town or at the Kennedy Center.
That's incredible. So are you good at multitasking or context switching?
I'm a Virgo. August 30th. Yes. Want to see today? Here's today.
Oh, that's your will schedule. Who makes this? Who makes this for you?
Donald Sanders Butler Robertson make it for me. And they type it up charmingly as if it's been done on a typewriter and on an index card.
So you can just keep it
so
in your pocket.
So that's today. There you are, right there in the middle.
That's right. All right, so you got to be somewhere
actually,
else.
Actually, this is the second one because I was supposed to have a fitting with LaTanya Richardson Jackson, but we've scheduled it on Monday. So that's that open space
there. Okay.
That's LaTanya. But other than that, that's the day. That's how I do it.
I wish someone would do that with my day.
It's like, charming, isn't it?
It's charming. Yeah. It just be like, all right, now wake up. Let the kids wake you up. Prepare to have them jump on your face.
That's right.
And then take them to school. Prepare to struggle with them to get them to go to school. Go to work. Be prepared to be stuck on the subway.
You said you were stuck. Yeah. No, you were stuck in the Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, yeah. Coming here, I was.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would like a to-do list like that. I just use Google Calendar, which kind of helps me out most of the time.
Oh, you mean cyberspace. I'm not good with cyberspace.
No, I couldn't find you on social media anymore.
No, I'm not. No, I can't. Can't do it.
Okay.
I do have an Instagram account.
Do you?
But it's the only things I love.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get to that at the end. I'll let you plug that.
I won't. No.
No? Okay.
It's under an assumed name.
Oh, all right. Long Ivy William.
That's it. Oh, my goodness. There's another joke in that. But we won't do that now. We need a cocktail. Oh, too early.
All right. We'll go out again for cocktails. Scanning through my notes. Okay. So, Beetlejuice obviously takes place in the netherworld. All this weird alternate reality, dead people, Tootsie. It's set in modern times now. Take me back to like 101 here. How do you approach each one and dissect how you're going to start drawing up the costumes, the concepts?
I can't remember which came first, the chicken or the egg. Was it my dear friend and collaborator, who I love more than life itself, Scott Ellis, asking me to do Tootsie? Or was it my brand new... Oh, wait till he meets me. Will he stand me? The tall, dark, and handsome Alex Timbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know which called first. I've totally forgotten but I know they were like a year apart. They all ended up being a day apart, actually opening. But you start with a phone call. Then you say yes. The only time you don't say yes is because then they will never ask you again. So you have to choose the no very carefully, is if you're going to be on another continent
mm-hmm.
and you can't do it. So anyway, I said yes. But remember, there were no dates. I didn't plan four shows opening within 8 weeks. I did not plan this. Tell that to the producers and directors. So you say yes, and then you ask, well, should I, if it's a film... And both were, I have a series of film to stage. There's a reason people base Broadway shows on films, and it's to get butts in seats.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an expectation? Is there a joy in the title? You know, then that's a lead-in, gets you into the theater. That's at least somebody's thinking. So then you say, well, are we, you know, do we relate to the film? Do we copy the film? Do we ignore the film? And like when we do producers, I asked the great Mel Brooks, I said, do we, should I acknowledge him? He said, no, just reimagine it. Think. I said, well, Springtime for Hitler. He said, no, reimagine, totally new. Then when we did Young Frankenstein, he wanted me to be closer to the film. But on producers, so they'll tell you, like, Guys and Dolls. Of course, that began as a stage play, but mm-hmm. then it was a film. And you asked Jerry Zaks in our famous revival, they changed the street name. It was Runyon Land now. and he says, no, don't look at either. But by, so then you, anyway, you ask. And so Tootsie, let's talk, start with Tootsie. Tootsie was, you know, in the 80s, shoulder pads,
right.
Big glasses, big hair, big shoulders. And it was a soap opera. Play Within the Play was the soap opera.
Yes.
Also, we didn't have Today back in the 80s. So my first question was, Minefield? What about the minefields of the Today moment?
Yeah, all the tropes.
All that, just everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, and they said, no, he said, no, we got this fabulous new writer, you know, named Robert Horn, who had never written a Broadway show. I said, oh, poor he. He'll step in on a landmine and never work again. Well, won the Tony.
Yep.
But so that was the big question. Why Tootsie? Why now? Really? Those are my questions. So it began like that. But the entire producer, Scott Sanders, we have three Scotts on Tootsie. We have Scott Sanders, the producer, who thought of it and convinced the rights holder to let an unknown writer, Robert Horn, write it. Then we have the great Scott Ellis, who sets the clocks in motion. He's just mm-hmm. the it man. And then we have Scott Rawlinson, our production stage manager. So the three Scotts in my life are on that show. And you can ask any of them a question at any time of day or night. All three of them are stalwart and true. And it became a moral journey. Moral, M-O-R-A-L, mm-hmm. journey, Tootsie. And you ask, well, where's the humor? There's humor, but you have to really know why are we doing this?
Right.
What are our values, core values? So, because it's fraught with possible missteps.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the joy of doing that, something that was dangerous. And then there's David Yazbek. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, drum roll. There's that. There's he. How did I leave that out? I'm so busy with my smart-ass Scots that I forgot. Can't forget David Yazbek. And we can come back to him later or not. That should be a whole program just on the awe with which I sit around watching David Yazbek watch a rehearsal. Oh my, the body language, it's extraordinary. Hood up, swunched down, hiding under the seat, standing up, pacing, you know, drumming with your pens. I mean, all sorts of things. Oh, the David Yazbek choreography of his life is beyond. Just fantastic. And his use of clothing to disappear. He's beyond. I could do a whole thing. I could do a book on the alphabet according to David Yazbek's clothing choices. I really must do that actually one day.
In all of your spare time.
For grown-up children to use. Then we skip to the Beetlejuice, which of course, so Scott Ellis says, no, we're not copying the movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing directly with these undercurrent, overcurrent, on top current issues, face on, full on. Okay, so that's Tootsie. Then Alex Timbers, I think I can't remember which came first. We did lots of workshops with Alex. The Scots for that are Alex. Alex Timbers and Alex Brightman.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the Alexes. So that's the Alex show. And we learned a lot. And I kept saying, is Mr. Burton going to come? Is Mr. Burton going to be around? Because what my whole focus on working on Beetlejuice was, well, are we going to, we're not, obviously the script, we're not copying the movie in any way, but how about the black and white striped suit? Mm-hmm. You know, are we going to have that? So we said yes, but different. So to reimagine Burtonland, and of course, I was the first person there the first day of the opening day of his exhibit at MoMA. I bought all the cocktail napkins, all the straws, every book, you know, all the little broom dividers, and, you know, I bought everything. And just then, and I got them all out, they were on my shelf, and I just went into Burtonland, into his drawing. So the idea was to make his wrist, David Corns makes fun of me, talking about the wrist. It's all about the wrist.
The wrist.
To hear David Corns do my Southern accent and talk, and starting with the wrist, is really worth it. You should hear that sometime. It's humiliating when it's in public, and he will only humiliate you in public, never in private, only in public. So me and my wrist, but that was really it. I was trying to channel, how does Tim Burton draw the world, according to him? How to get inside that brain? And there's so much great art. I mean, it's all great art, everything he touches. Mm-hmm. And I had previously worked on a production that didn't work, that was based on one of his films. And I was determined this time to really get inside his drawing, his wrist, and try to figure out how he looks at people and how to make state, you know, from brain to the page to the experience for the audience members.
Audience?
The audience. So anyway, so that was how I started Beetlejuice.
There are so many things in life that stress me out. You know what shouldn't stress me out? Eating. So we can all eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options for all dietary needs. And you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and even some drinks to help you stay fueled up. Factor is also celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month's Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Say that 5 times fast. Earth Month Eats. Earth Month Eats. Just remember, these no fuss, no mess meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So just simply heat and eat the good stuff. Head to factormeals.com/TTP50 and use code TTP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code TTP50 at factormeals.com/TTP50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Did you ever get to meet Tim?
No.
Mr. Burton?
No, Mr. Burton, not met him. No.
Really?
I'm told we won't meet him either.
Why?
He's shy. I think he's shy.
Wow. I think
he's as shy as Mr. Sondheim is shy. You know, Mr. Sondheim is very shy.
Yeah.
So, and you know, Mr. Yazbek's pretty shy.
Well, I've met Yazbek.
Yeah. Well, aren't you?
Well, is it award ceremonies?
See?
Yeah, he.
But I mean, they're
shy.
There. They're these. I worked with Leonard Bernstein. I did Leonard Maestro, the Maestro's last opera. It was called A Quiet Place, and we did it all over the world: Vienna Staatsoper, La Scala, Kennedy Center, Houston Grand Opera. Started at Houston Grand Opera. Mm-hmm. He was not shy. Lenny was not shy.
Probably not.
But anyway, they're shy, and I get it. They're shy.
So, in terms of logistics of the production, directors, choreographers, they go back. Their job is not done after opening night. They go back and they tweak and they clean. And
London production often doesn't look like the New York production.
So that's what I was going to ask. Like after a show opens, are you typically done until they open a touring production or another location or something?
Typically. I like to be hands-on. Certain times we don't finish all the understudy costumes by opening night.
Yes.
See? Got it?
Yes.
So I'm still a little behind on some of that. Not for Tootsie. Tootsie is very, it's all those Scots, yep, by the book. We sort of fell into the netherworld on Beetlejuice. So, it's free. There's some free form by the evening when it becomes a rock concert that you've never seen. I did the Steel Wheels tour for Mick Jagger years ago in the 89. And so I know from rock concerts and crazy. And so I only did his clothes. No one else wore special made. Charlie Watts always was Savile Row, and heaven knows what the others wore. But Mick, I did lots and dozens of outfits for him. So the screaming, I've heard the screaming, but except for that, I've never heard screaming. Except for the Steel Wheels tour, I personally have never heard something I've worked on break your eardrums quite like, at all, like a Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah.
They're just screaming.
The audience goes nuts.
Nuts, completely nuts.
All right, I talked to Leslie Kritzer the other day.
Oh, well, the goddess.
And she was bringing up the fact that there's a young audience now who's here. Who was born after the movie came out, that is enjoying it with their parents who love the movie.
I did not. She's really analyzed that.
Yeah.
You know, they can see everything. Those actors can see everything. And they can especially see with this new footlight experience called the cell phone. They light up blue faces watching you. Anyway, saying.
I saw Seawall the other night.
I'm seeing it tonight.
Oh, it's so good.
Opening
so
night.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, Jake, I was talking with Jake a while ago, and he was like, yeah, if someone's cell phone goes off, I'm just like, you need to take that? You need to do that? Like, acknowledge it.
They are just going to rub their nose in it.
You'll see it tonight. The format.
Well, I worked
on
the show where Patti LuPone snatched one out of the hands of the front row audience member.
I love that.
Took it right off stage with her.
I love it when actors do that, actually, because it's acknowledging, like, hey, we're not TV. We're actually real people up here doing real things. So get the hell off your phone and pay attention. I think, what was it? Oh, it was, what show is it that I think Kanye came and was on his phone and the actor tweeted about it? I'm totally blanking on what it was. Anyway, bad story. Some actor, it was like a lead in a show, was like, yeah, Kanye, we can see you. You're on your phone right now. It was like an intermission.
Wrong.
Ridiculous.
Wrong.
Yeah. Quick changes. Do you know ahead of time what's like going into the costume design? What needs to be super, super quick?
Are you referring to my now infamous being known as a practitioner of the transformation?
Go on.
Someone asked me once in an interview. I don't know if it was comfortable like this, where no one can see my stupid Southern face drooling and staring at you in disbelief at the questions. So I think it was a written one. And the interviewer asked me what was my signature. And I thought, is it red? Oh no, it's black and white. And that she said, you're struggling. Shall I tell you what your signature is?
Excuse me?
It's transformation. She told me that I am known for transformations. People changing in front of your very eyes.
Yeah.
I was told this. So I guess that's it.
Wow.
She was bright. Very bright. So, and I thought, oh, well, okay, I can no longer hem and haw and say black and white.
Right.
Or lace, you know, black lace on skin, which I think is my trademark. But I'm just totally turned on by that. Do not even go there. It's not nearly late enough. But I am turned on by black lace on skin tone.
Really?
Yes.
Like men and women?
I'm just saying. Well, if you can get a man in black lace, yes. Try.
Hey, it's theater.
It's happened. I've happened it.
Put me on stage. I'll wear whatever black lace you want.
I have a bit of that in Chicago, if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Channel that.
Right, right.
And Cabaret. And my very first one was in Nine, the musical. Maury Esten,
mm-hmm.
Arthur Copit, well, Fellini, Tommy Tune, Mario Frati. They brought that to us, and it was a black and white. They said, let's do black and white. And so that started me on my black and white
Wow. Have you seen Moulin Rouge yet?
Not yet. I have to wait to see until they invite me.
The costumes.
Oh, Catherine Zuber. Oh, yes, absolutely.
The costumes are incredible. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, Catherine Zuber, yeah. What can I say?
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. The show will run for
and
50
Derek
years.
And Derek McClain. And, you know, it's yeah. Wonderful.
TV, you did Grease Live.
Yes. Tommy Kail.
Yes.
David Korins forced him to hire me. I only have a career in the sunset of my life because of David Korins.
I don't understand.
And my Rias.
In the audience. I don't understand. You have your credits, your resume speaks for itself. And you're such a nice guy to talk with.
I'm a terrible interview.
But you don't need to interview. You have all this stuff out there.
Well.
It's credit after credit after win after Tony win.
Well,
award,
now you
award,
see,
award.
You see the fear. The fear that comes over all of us.
Do you still feel, you get fear? Do you still feel like you're not good enough?
Don't I look like I'm showing that I have fear? Yes.
Yes.
I do.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
That's
why am I grabbing the seat? Have you not noticed I'm holding on for dear life over here?
I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm scared to death, yeah.
Oh, my
no,
goodness.
You're only as good as your last show, you know, and you aren't in total control of how good that is because it's a group effort.
Yeah.
So you don't know. Well, no, I'm always amazed that things happen.
I'm not surprised by that now after, you know, 40 something interviews for this podcast and whatnot. Like the common through line is that these amazing Tony Award winning this and that and it leads and people who've worked with Fosse and been around for half a decade, they still do it because they're trying to prove something.
Yeah.
They don't feel like they're good enough.
I keep waiting to do the really good work.
But
I keep really wanting it. And I know it's going to happen. I have a few things I'm proud of. Really proud.
What are you proud of?
Bits of shows.
Really?
Yes, bits of shows.
Not whole shows?
Not whole shows. Because I don't control the whole show.
Yes.
I am just a support area. So part of, I'm proud of the Anita Morris costume in Nine the Music. Anita Morris, born and raised in Durham.
Mm.
Durham, our neighbor.
That's right.
In the Triangle. I'm proud of much of what I did on the revival of Guys and Dolls with Nathan Lane and Faith Prince that Jerry Zaks steered with Tony Walton Scenery. I'm proud of much of that. I'm proud of many transformations in Cinderella.
Oh, that
I did
beautiful.
Brunch at the Time of Science Cinderella. Laura Osnes, my fairy goddaughter.
Yeah.
And I love her. And I'm proud of many of the things we did with Kiki Palmer, her transformations in Grease Live. We did it live.
Yes.
And it looks like it was a cutaway. It was not. I'm proud of various things. I am. But I still think, okay, what's next? And that's a direct quote from the late, great Hal Prince, with whom I did three Broadway shows.
Hal's amazing.
Amazing, amazing. We all, our hearts skipped a beat, didn't they? Our 12.
Yeah.
And, but he would always say, what's next? In fact, that was the last number in Prince of Broadway. What's next?
That's interesting. And maybe it's a Raleigh thing. Maybe it's a Southern thing. And that's a lot of why I started this podcast is because I was in chorus and then I got into computers and then I was in tech and then I got a computer science degree. And then with that degree, I was a professional actor and then got back into tech. And then now I'm podcasting is not my full-time job, but I love this because I miss artistic, and I'm constantly reinventing who I am and what I'm interested in.
Of course you are.
And always I'm like, all right, conquered that. What's next?
Well, and some of the things you're mentioning are changing in front of our very eyes and ears. I mean, you're talking about many technical things. In theory, what I'm working on is still a human being standing on a stage, reading a script.
You're responsible for changing people, though. You're changing their minds.
Yes.
Taking them on a journey.
The audience on a journey. Let's evoke Hal Prince another moment. The mirror, the famous mirror in cabaret in cabaret that then focused and showed the audience themselves, and that they were complicit, like the Nazis, like the people around the Nazis, with what was happening right here.
Yeah.
That was, I wish I had been in that audience when that debuted, that first preview, back in the 50s, I guess it was. So that is chilling. It's still chilling when you are indicted along with the, you know, you're indicted by the production.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, so what else are you proud of? You were saying a couple things.
I don't know. I think I'm off my roll. I'm still holding onto my chair. I'm scared. I don't think I can brag anymore. Those are my bragging bits.
Well, we got off topic when I brought up Grease Live.
Yeah.
So working on Grease Live TV, did you approach that differently than any other production, or was it just, it's a live show?
I approached it as a live show.
Live TV show or a live
show with guerrilla cameras? Because we had Tommy Kail and Alex fabulous camera director. And they said, we're going to do our show and the cameras are going to discover it.
Huh.
It was great. So I just knew that there would be 360 degrees of visibility of the costumes as kinetic things moving in time and with lighting and design and everything. And so I was just ready for it to be a live film, a guerrilla film happening in actual time, which was very exciting for me. I loved that challenge. And I think we pulled off a few things on that. That was exciting. We included, for the first time in those great ideas during live Broadway shows, we included an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And we had like five audiences in the different places. So, and now, you know, they've got that new thing over. They started it with the Prince of Orange, wasn't it, in the Netherlands, where there's a big plane landing in the water. But the stage, the audience moves. And there's these whole big, huge things around. Anyway,
sounds like Disney World.
I'd like Disney World. Yeah. It's
the carousel of progress.
That's exactly. Yeah. Thank you very much. See, nothing is new. And I'm sure the Greeks, Aeschylus planned it. I'm telling you, it's all been done before. All been done before.
Wow, wow. Well, I've seen your schedule. I know we need to wrap this up now. God, my cheeks hurt from smiling so much.
Oh, good. Well, it's so much. Well, it is fun, and we are Raleigh boys.
That's right. We can talk forever.
We can just go on. Oh my goodness.
Well, let me ask you my three standard closing questions that I ask everybody on the podcast. The first is very simply, what motivates you?
What motivates me? I wake up every day thinking, okay, this is going to be the day. It's going to be great.
Do you ever get discouraged if it's not, or you have a bad day?
All the time. And I take to my bed and I read my books.
What do you read?
Biographies mostly and histories.
Okay. All right. So second question is, what advice would you give to your younger self and younger people now starting out down a similar path?
Oh my God, I made so many mistakes. I don't think I'd be possible to give myself. Well, remember, I came to New York in 1975. There are a lot of stop signs I should have noticed. Don't do this. Don't go there. And I moved to the Chelsea Hotel. I think I could have done a lot of don't go there. That was a dangerous, exciting, thrilling time. I don't know how to answer that question. Can I pass on that one?
All right. Don't do what you do.
Do what I say, not what I do. Right. Is that what they say parents sometimes say?
All right. So the final question, and this is going to be hard for you. If you could only see one show for the rest of your life, but you can see it as many times as you want, what would you see?
What show? Do you mean like film, television, Broadway?
Anything. I'll make it hard.
Anything?
Yeah. Or pick one from each category.
Oh my gosh, of shows. Well, I will tell you right now. I'm just going to answer it. I love The Music Man.
Yes.
I love The Music Man. Susan Stroman directed and choreographed The Music Man, and we had a 60 by 40 foot American flag that dropped down. and everyone quick changed in the wings, literally almost in front of your eyes, and came out, and every one of them played an instrument, most of them the trombones. I cried and cried and cried. And then in the second week, we had 9/11.
Ooh, yeah.
And we saw it again, and we cried even more. I'm a big American flag person. I'm a Raleigh, North Carolina boy. We waved the flag. That made me so happy to see that particular production. Yeah. Of course, it had the glorious Rebecca Luker in it, who, you know, she's one of the constellations and things go around her.
Yeah.
I just love that. I would say that's the show that I can watch and 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 watch.
And I did.
Is that your answer?
Yes. Yes. When I was a little boy, I wore the VHS tape of Music Man out. I watched it so many times. I love it.
I just loved it. And I think everything came together and then it happened. Then 9/11 happened and it just made it more so.
Yeah.
And I would go back and I'd be near the theater and walk in. And wherever it started, I just loved it.
Cool. Cool. All right. So we can find you online. You're not into the socials much, but William Ivy
not
Long.
Not at all.
Yeah. WilliamIvyLong.com, right? That's still valid. People can
that's
go to
me.
That.
Yes. I think that's, yeah.
All right. And of course, Beetlejuice.
Wait a minute. What's the www?
That's just a domain prefix.
Okay.
You take it or leave it.
Okay.
These days doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, you can have like whatever dot William
there
you
go. Okay, good.
BeetlejuiceBroadway.com. Of course, Beetlejuice playing at the Winter Garden Theater. TootsieMusical.com playing at the Marquee Theater. Get your tickets to both of those shows because they are so amazingly different, but so
different.
So good. You can get more of me, thetheaterpodcast.com. Show your support at thetheaterpodcast.com/Patreon. You can get me online, theater_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Leave a rating, leave a review everywhere that you're listening right now. It helps. This is produced by Jillian Hockman, edited by Matthew Hendershot. Thank you to Jukebox the Ghost for all of the intro and outro music you're hearing underneath us right now. And then William Ivy Long, final thanks to you for coming out here. This has been absolutely incredible.
Well, thank you. Bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
Your deep breath make the world a little colorful.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.